Hey, it's so good to be back here again. It is an honor to be with you. I love this church. My wife and I live in Hudson, so we are cheering, rooting this church on. And any way I can help out, I'm glad to do so. And so I want to talk to you today about something that's been on my heart. But to set that particular topic up, I just want to let you know a couple years ago, when I was looking for the lyrics of a song, I Googled those lyrics. And in the midst of my search, I ran across a website that absolutely blew my mind. It blew my mind, and it changed my life forever. What I ran across was a website that archived misheard lyrics. Misheard lyrics. Now, this site's sole purpose was to chronicle all of the wrong, all of the incorrect, all the messed up lyrics that people think they hear and then erroneously sing when it comes to some of the most famous songs that have ever been written. Now, the reason I love this website so much is because I finally realized that I am not alone on this planet. That I am not alone. There's a whole world of people who absolutely butcher lyrics to songs just like me. There's a whole bunch of us out there. And actually, as I looked through the list of those songs, it became crystal clear to me that I am indeed a frequent offender when it comes to misheard lyrics. For example, in this song. Yeah. Kurt Cobain is actually singing, "Here we are now, entertain us," not "Here we are now, in containers." Mess that one up for years. Or Creedence Clearwater Revival. Now, in this song, they aren't giving directions to someone who has to urinate with the lyrics, "There's a bathroom on the right," but rather, "There's a bad moon on the rise." Or this one in particular. Yep, in this one, Elton John is singing, "Hold me close, tiny dancer," not "Hold me close, Tony Danza," which is completely different experience altogether, altogether. Or this other one by Taylor Swift. Got a long list of ex-lovers. She is not singing, "Got along with Starbucks lovers," but rather "Got a long list of ex-lovers." Now, that is a very controversial one. People hear different things on that one. But those are understandable. Though, in my opinion, those are understandable. My worst misheard lyric, I think, of all time, I only recently realized I was messing up in error. And here's the clip. Here's the clip. It might be a little dust on the bottom. Listen carefully. But don't let it fool you about why. Great. Now, here's what they are actually saying. There might be a little dust on the what? On the bottle, right. Well, since my junior year of high school, when this song first came out in 1994, I had been singing, "There might be a little dust on the Bible." Bible. There might be a little dust on the Bible. Anybody else having to mess that one up? Oh, good. It's just me. This is awkward. Okay, good. It's just me. Now, the part that threw me off wasn't exactly the line about the dust, but rather the lines around the dust on the Bible part. There might be a little dust on the Bible, but don't let it fool you about what's inside. There might be a little dust on the Bible. It's one of those things that gets sweeter with time. You see, what was confusing to me is that the wrong lyrics were actually right. The fact that you may have a little dust on your Bible or no Bible at all doesn't mean that you don't desperately need what's within its covers. And then when you engage with that information in your life, with what's on the inside on an ongoing basis, what you will find is that it truly does get sweeter with time. Which, by the way, is what we want to talk about today in week number one of this series, Best Year Ever. Because I believe that if we are able to really lean into what this particular topic is, this will set you up for your best year ever. And so my end game for today is simply this, that you would pick up your Bible, that you would blow off the dust, that you would open its pages, and that you would read it on a regular basis. That's my simple goal for today. that as we enter into 2019, that we would collectively pick up our Bibles, blow off the dust, if there's dust on it, open up the pages and begin to read what's inside on a regular basis. Because unfortunately, the necessity of this collective dust removal is not really that far from our reality. In fact, a recent study entitled The State of the Bible, it identified that while the average American owns almost five Bibles, 54% of the adult population in America would be considered Bible disengaged. And what that means is that although we have lots and lots of Bibles in our houses and on our shelves, we as U.S. adults, half of us, interact with that content less than 2 times per year. You see, when it comes to us as adults in the United States, we may have a little bit more than a little bit of dust on our Bibles. Now, I could continue to quote more and more statistics from this 55-page analysis of American Bible reading, but the bottom line is, from this study, is that most of us just aren't doing it, that we are not reading our Bibles with any sort of regularity, which for me, personally, makes me really, 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 really sad. Why? Well, because my experience is that what's inside the Bible, within its covers, my experience is that it truly does get sweeter with time. And I say that because about 5 years ago, through a series of life events, I felt that God was calling me to do a Bible challenge that I wasn't sure that I could actually complete. I was 36 years old at the time, and I was really struggling with this feeling of unsettledness. I was really struggling with not feeling settled with where I was in my life, really unsettled with where I was vocationally and financially and relationally. I was really restless, and I was really driving my wife crazy with my restlessness. I think, in retrospect, I was having a midlife crisis at that time. I was only 36. I know that seems a little early, but I've always been advanced. So midlife crisis. Basically, what my mentality at that time was is that if I could somehow change my external circumstances, that would be the thing that would fix my restlessness that I was going through at the time. So every few months, what I would do is I would pitch another life change idea to my wife, Jenna. Hey, what if we moved? What if we moved to a different state? What if we moved to a different country? No? Okay. Well, do you care if I sell my truck and buy a Jeep Wrangler? Okay, no, okay. What if we got a different house? What if we got a bigger house? What if we got one of those little itty-bitty tiny houses? What if we got a houseboat? No? Okay. Well, do you care if I sell my truck and buy a Jeep Wrangler? Still no. Okay. What if we change churches? What if we change churches? What if I change positions at our church? What if I change careers altogether? What about that? No? Okay. Well, do you care if I sell my truck and buy a Jeep Wrangler? Still no. Okay. I think, what if we got rid of all of our cats? What if we got rid of all of our cats? Well, actually, this had nothing to do with my midlife crisis. That's just wise decision making. Generally, that's just wise decision making. Now, I was restless. This time I was wondering and wandering, trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing. I was restless. And fortunately, through a few divinely appointed, I consider them divinely appointed conversation with older, wiser men, it was pointed out to me that the something different that I needed, that I was desperately searching for and looking for and longing for, that thing wasn't something on the outside, but rather the change I needed to make was one that needed to happen for me on the inside. You see, what I was really looking for wasn't a major transition in my scenery, but rather a transformation in the relationship that I had with my God. And so what I decided to do, what I felt God was calling me to do, was to start pursuing the person of God through the pages of His Word. And so on August 28th, 2014, I started what I entitled the B90X Challenge. The B90X Challenge. You probably heard of the P90X Challenge, the Power 90 Extreme Fitness Program, where you try to shock your body into shape in 90 days. I've obviously never done that, nor will I ever do that. Well, as clever as I am, I changed the P to a B and started an accelerated 90-day Bible reading program with the intent to shock my soul into shape. And so I did it, 90 days. I did it 90 days. I read the whole Bible, 90 days. And then I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again, and again, and again, and again. In fact, 4 years later, almost to the day, this last August, I wrapped up my 10th read-through of the Bible. And I would say, friends, it's not an understatement to say that doing this process, doing this, has revolutionized my life. And I know, I get it. This sort of schedule, it isn't for everybody. Everybody can't do it. But I want to say to you that spending time in God's Word daily, for me, brought an incredible amount of clarity and focus to my life. In fact, one of the biggest shockers for me about this whole process was how my time and how my life slowed down each day. I mean, you would think that adding an extra hour of reading to my already slammed schedule would compress the other day's activities and cause even more stress, but strangely enough, the exact opposite thing happened. It had the exact opposite effect on me. The days seemed to become more balanced and more relaxed and more calibrated when I read each day. It was almost like I was living into and living out of the promise that Jesus made when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first, and then he will adjust your priorities so that you will have everything you need for what you need for that day." That part of the experience was totally shocking to me, how it calibrated each and every day. The other big shocker had to do with the phrase in that verse, live righteously. Because what became clear in my multiple readings of the Bible is that there is important information in there that's in there to help us figure out the right way to live. The info is there to make our lives better and to make us better at life. In fact, that's what the Bible says the Bible is about. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to what? To, you can say it out loud, to teach us. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 says this, these things happened to them as what? As examples for us. In other words, one of God's primary goals for all the stories of the Bible is that we read them, that we let them teach us so that we can learn from their example to us, so that we can make our lives better and make us better at life. And I don't know about you, but I desperately need help figuring out how to best make use of this one life that I've been given to live. Because when I was born, there was no instruction manual. There was no GPS system to tell me how and where to go. And so to figure it out, I've got to find some source. I've got to find out how to do it. And not to mention the other problem, we don't have enough time to figure it out all on our own. We don't have enough time in our one life to learn every lesson that we need to successfully navigate our existence. In fact, I love how Wayne Cordero, one of my favorite authors, he describes this reality in his book called The Divine Mentor. This is the way he describes our lack of ability to learn every lesson. He says this, he says, every one of us has learned something from personal experience that has made us a little wiser. Suppose you run full blast into a wall and bang, you break your nose. Well, what did you learn? Wall hard, nose soft. Wall win, nose lose. Good, good. You're wiser now, you're wiser now. So what's the lesson? Well, don't run into walls that don't move right along with you. Congratulations, you've garnered a pearl of wisdom from a personal experience that included some suffering and pain. So now you got your pearl. It's pleasing, it's valuable, but that's just one pearl, one nugget, one checker piece, one bit of treasure. That's the good news. The bad news is becoming the husband or wife or teacher or leader you want to be, the person you were created to be, it will require a whole bag full of these gems. How else will you know how to navigate life's twists and turns? To get where you want to go, you'll need far more wisdom than what you gain from your unfortunate experience with the wall. The truth is, you don't have enough bones in your body to shatter. In order to gain all the wisdom you'll need to succeed in these difficult days, to garner the necessary wisdom to be the mom or dad or employer or employee you want to be. Listen to this. You just don't have enough noses to break. You can't figure it out on your own. In fact, some have said that in this life there are two teachers, that we can be instructed from two sources. One is consequences, and that's what Wayne Cordero is talking about here, that we bump into the wall, we learn a lesson, and then we say, I'll never do that again. But the truth is, we don't have enough noses to break. We can't get where God wants us to be on consequences alone. We need something else. We need a source of wisdom. And that is the other teacher in this life. So if we can figure out how to learn from the bad as well as from the good, then we will learn twice as much in this life. So that when we look at and learn from the people in the Bible, their lives, we don't have to then repeat their mistakes. We don't have to do what they did. We can avoid the consequences of their bad decision making. We don't have to spend years and tears learning the lessons they learned. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we garner that wisdom from them? How do we avoid running into walls over and over and over again and breaking our noses? How do we live like those who are wise? How do we access the wisdom of God followers in the past? How do we do this? That's what we're talking about. We do it by dusting off our Bibles and digging into them on a daily basis. That's how we get the wisdom we need to become the people that God has created us to be. And so in the few minutes that we have left together today, I'm going to show you how to do that successfully. I'm going to show you how to do that successfully, how you can read and understand the Bible like never before. And so I want to encourage you to maybe write this down. If you're taking notes, just jot these three things down that I'm going to give you today. So the first thing is this. To do this well, to dust off the Bible, dig into God's Word on a daily basis, you need to, number one, pick a time. Pick a time. Pick a time. If you talk to people who have done this before, who make digging into God's word on a daily basis something that they do, one of their daily habits, they will tell you that you have to choose a specific regular time to do it. As you know, we already schedule things that are important to us. The relationships that we have, we schedule those things. Financial meetings that we need to be a part of, we schedule those things. Football games that are at noon today, we schedule those things. Or if you are a Christian at 3:25 and the Vikings play. Just kidding. Oh, just kidding. I know I'm in enemy territory here. So anyway, we schedule the things. We put them on our calendars. We put them on our computers, reminders. We put alarms on our phones for things we don't want to miss. In fact, for years, my wife, Jenna, she put an alarm on her phone that would go off at 2 p.m. every single day that would remind her to stop midday and pray. And I'm suggesting that you set a similar type of appointment to spend some time where you can sit down with your Heavenly Father and connect with Him through His Word. Now, personally, I think the morning is the best time to do it because it allows me to put God first in my day. Remember the verse, seek first the kingdom of God, but it doesn't have to be in the morning. There's no magic about the morning. For you, it could be lunchtime or right before you go to bed. What I would just suggest to you is that whenever you are at your best, that is the best time to spend time with God. Spend time with God. The best time to do that is when you are at your best. Whenever that is, whatever part of your day that is, as long as you pick a time, that's what's most important. So pick a time. And then secondly, pick a place. Pick a place. Find a spot. Now, there's something powerful about finding a special place, a spot, picking a location. Because when you open up God's word in that specific place, there's something powerful that happens that helps you to mentally focus on what you're doing. In fact, building a habit in this way can be fun. If reading the Bible for you is something that's new to you, it's something you're not used to doing, what I would encourage you to do is maybe pair it with something that you do enjoy doing already. Make it fun if you want it done. Take that home with you today. Make it fun if you want it done. Add some sort of reward or motivation for doing it. For example, the thing I do is I enjoy drinking a very specific, special kind of coffee every morning. I love it. I look forward to it. I wake up in the morning thinking about drinking this coffee. And so what I've done is I've paired my Bible reading with the process of making this coffee, the experience and the drinking of the coffee. So every morning I get up and I make the coffee, and then I head to my favorite Bible reading coffee drinking spot, which is this location in the corner of this couch, and I nuzzle myself into the couch, turn on the light, cover up with a blanket, and I open up God's Word. I do it every day. I did it this morning, in fact. And so I would say you need to find a place as well. You can pick a place at your house. It could be in your basement, spare bedroom, but it doesn't have to be at your house. I know people who take time to read the Bible every morning in their car, in the parking lot of their work before they head into the office for the day. It could be there. It could be your favorite coffee shop. Anywhere else that you want to set aside a place that you can go to consistently open up God's Word. So pick a time, pick a place, and then lastly, pick a plan. Pick a plan. You need a system. This is so important because intention is where transformation happens. Intention is where transformation happens. And so I want to just quickly offer three things that I use that you think that you might find helpful as well. Number one, if you have not on your mobile device or devices downloaded the YouVersion Bible app, you should do that ASAP. ASAP. You can even do it while I'm talking right now. Download that app. It is, since the Gutenberg press was invented, this is the most important invention of the Bible to help the Bible do its thing, get across the world. And so you can have the Bible wherever you go. It's completely free. It's almost every translation that's out there. And it also includes an unlimited amount of reading plans. So after you download it, go on there and find one that suits you. You can do one for 3 days. You can do one for 30 days. You can do one for 6 months, a year, whatever. There's a ton of them. And so I would say pick one, and utilize that resource as well. So the YouVersion Bible. Secondly, the thing I want to point to you is an actual physical Bible. The thing that I'm doing this year is called the One-Year Bible. And this is a brilliant type of Bible because it's divided not by content, but by day. So you pick a day, whatever day it is, you turn to that day and do the reading for the day. So they make it in two types. One is the whole Bible. One is the New Testament. So if you're just getting started, I would encourage you to do the New Testament. Anybody feel particularly called to do the whole Bible? Anybody? Nobody? That's too bad. I was going to give this to you. Anybody feel called to do the New Testament? Anybody New Testament? Not a soul. Okay, I'll take these with me when I go. Or you can just pick them up here. So that's what I'm doing this year, every day. And what I love about this particular thing is that if you miss a day, it's okay. You miss a day, it's okay. I compare it to eating. I have heard that from time to time people miss meals. I've never missed one. But some of you may have missed one. And the beauty of missing a meal is that you don't get discouraged. You're like, oh, I missed a meal. I'll never be able to eat again. I'll just stop eating forever. No, you don't do that. You pick it up at the next scheduled meal. And reading God's words the exact same way. That if you miss a day, it's okay. Just pick it up at the next meal. Pick it up at the next meal. So if you need a starter place, I'll tell you one more. And this is one that I have done since high school. I don't do it all the time, but what's amazing, this is the Bible that my youth pastor back in the day gave me as my very first real big person Bible that didn't have pictures in it. So I used that one for a long time. But this one was my real big boy Bible. And so all I was told about when I was in the youth group is that if you want to read the Bible, here's what you do. You go to Proverbs, which is like in the middle, and you look at whatever day it is. So if it's like the 13th of the month, you go to Proverbs 13 and you read it. And that's it. And if it's the 21st of the month, you go to Proverbs 31, and you read that chapter, and you're good. And you just go through. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Most months have around that, 31 days. So you just do that. So quite honestly, no one ever told me to do anything differently. So I if you go back through my Bible, I'm like, I tore up Proverbs. And then I recently discovered there's other books. So so if you've never read the Bible before and you want to get started in 2019, that is an awesome way to do it. Proverbs, it's like tweets from God about wisdom and about what you need to do to succeed in this life. And so I want to encourage you to pick one of those. Go to the YouVersion Bible, pick a plan. Grab one of these one-year Bibles on your way out, or go to buy one on Amazon or whatever. Use that or do the Proverbs plan. But my encouragement to you is do something. Do something to get in God's word this year. So I ask you, is 2019 going to be your year? Maybe you've made plans in the past and you go, oh yeah, I need to read the Bible, and you get all excited and you start in Genesis, and Genesis is great, and Exodus is pretty good till the last half, and then you get to Leviticus, and you're like, I'm out. All the blood, everything's dying. I don't want any more of this, right? And you gave up. But maybe this is the year you get started again. Maybe this is the year when you get to the New Testament and start reading what Jesus is really all about and letting those words shape you. Is 2019 your year to do that? I hope it is. I pray that it is, that this is the year that you look at and learn from what's inside, that you carve out time each day in 2019 to spend some time getting to know God through God's word. My prayer is that you will, because what I know from my experience is that when you do that, that his word truly does get sweeter. Get sweeter with time. So my question is, are you in? Are you in this year? Let's pray. God, we pause just briefly here to thank you for your word that you've given us, the Bible. As complicated and confusing as it can be for us, you've given us this gift to show us how to live our lives better, and how to become the person you designed us to be. And so I pray today for Midcurrent that this would be their year, that they would dust off the Bible, they would buy a Bible, get a Bible, and begin to read each and every day so that they can find out who you really are through your word. And God, we thank you most of all for Jesus, who is the word, who is what you are in the flesh. And we thank you for him. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.